one of the biggest problems we've got in the industry is there's still the term marketing girl, which I hate with a passion. If you follow me on LinkedIn, you probably know that. I speak to too many recruitment CEOs where they say, oh yes, we've got the marketing girl, which straight away shows to me you don't respect them, you don't actually hold them in high regard, and you don't trust them to deliver you revenue. They're to color in and make things look pretty to jazz things up, right? Where actually that conversation with your marketing girl should be, look, this is our revenue goal this year. What do we need to get there? How can you support us in that? How are we going to work with the recruiters to do that? And once you actually have that conversation, all the good things fall into place. You know, whether that's technology, whether that's, it's just a change of mindset. Marketing is there to drive revenue. That's what you should measure people on, not the pretty pictures.
Thank you guys for tuning in to the You Own the Experience podcast. This is your co-host, Rob, and this week we're re-airing my conversation with Darren Westall, CEO and co-founder of Pager, a UK-based marketing automation tool for recruiters and sales teams. Darren and I chat about smarketing, which is the intersection between sales and recruiting, and how marketing is really a revenue-generating tool, not just your coloring department or your magic department. Check out the episode to learn more, obviously, and please remember to rate, review, and share the episode. And please, if you're on Apple, leave a review on that platform. All right, guys, let's get to the conversation after a quick word from our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Leap Consulting Solutions. Our firm focuses on three areas of opportunity as it pertains to technology in our industry. First is expeditious acquisition of technology, helping you make quick decisions and good investments for the betterment of your organization. The second is business process change management and adoption. And then finally, evangelization of your new differentiators of your digital transformation. Call Leap Consulting Solutions today.
This episode is brought to you by Kylo Partners. Kylo is your Bullhorn specialist and Bullhorn's first global implementation partner. Our solutions have helped 950 plus companies worldwide to transform how they use Bullhorn and get more out of their tech stack. Our products provide you with tremendous ROI, including Kylo Awesome Docs, the complete document management system right in Bullhorn, and the most powerful data management tool in the ecosystem, Kylo Data Tools. To learn more, visit kylopartners.com.
So Darren, give the people a good 2-minute overview of, you know, your background and then obviously what Pager looks to do.
Yeah, thank you so much. So I've been in the recruiting industry for 12 years now, which feels weird to say out loud, but my background is tech. I started my career as a developer. I was at a company called Broadbean Technology, who are a large multi-poster. I ended my career as their chief technology officer about 2.5 years ago to co-found Pager. And the reason for that was really simple, actually. I've got a real love for tech and marketing, and I realized that actually recruiters on the likes of LinkedIn don't do enough of it. So Pager is that tool to bridge the gap, help them build their personal brand, to get them sharing your marketing content. If you're producing white papers, blog posts, and they're not sharing that right now and that frustrates you, that's the problem we solve. We get their job shared in the most attractive, engaging way by helping them to identify and research new sales opportunities. So it's a tool for the 360 recruiter, or if they're just 180, we've got the candidate side. But if they just do BD, we've got the sales side. So it can be used by any recruiting business across the world. And we're lucky enough to be used by 250 staffing agencies now in 2.5 years and have over 2,000 recruiters on the platform. So it's been a crazy couple of years.
That's amazing. And you guys are growing, and then you're also growing the product, I know. So just full transparency, I've known about Pager, it was its previous name, because I'm Captain Jack Copeland. Was a former employee of Broadbean, so I'm assuming a coworker of yours, Darren. I call him Captain Jack because he was the last guest on a podcast talking about building a tech stack. That's what I referred to him as. And he also told me he crashed a boat at some point in his life. So there's that.
Yeah, there's also a very interesting YouTube video of him acting like a T-Rex dinosaur on the London Underground Tube network. If you can surface that up, that would be amazing.
Okay, I'm going to try and find that link and post it on that episode. Anyway, so that's amazing. Thank you for that gem. I love messing with Jack. But more importantly, let's get back to this. Guys, this is not a brag, but like I've really tried to future-proof my career by creating content on LinkedIn and sharing it. I started in 2019 when I was at Hearfish, educating people on how to use automation for marketing. And then I continued it with Able, with this podcast that we're now on. And safe to say, I don't see a lot of recruiters doing interesting stuff on LinkedIn. And that's where everyone lives. So like, why are you not being more interesting on LinkedIn and building your personal brand, not only to future-proof your career, to create trust, to do all these really things that are powerful for a salesperson, aka a recruiter, but no one's doing it, right? Or not enough people are doing it. And so what Pager does is enable that in lots of interesting ways. So maybe like, let's jump into the why. Like, how did this come about? Obviously, Broadbeam, even though it's a multi-poster, is really about marketing. It's about marketing the jobs and getting them out into these important and relevant places, using technology to make sure that they're picked up. So I understand that that's a marketing tool, right? Your website is a marketing tool. Kind of what was the why and like the background to this? Because I find it fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, if we look at the first two features that I built, you know, as I say, I coded the product. The first one was advocacy side. So getting salespeople to actually share marketing content. And that was born actually out of my time at Broadbean. So we had a fantastic marketing team. As you can imagine, lots of stats and white papers being produced. And I used to get an email come into my inbox from marketing and I used to delete it. I used to hit the delete button to their disgust and dismay. And I didn't realize how big of a problem that was, just to put it out there. When we go for a good years beforehand, I was hitting delete, didn't think anything of it. But then I went for lunch with the marketing director and she was incredibly annoyed. I'm talking really, really pissed off. And I said to her, look, what's wrong? She's like, well, I've just spent 10K on that white paper. I spent 3 months putting it together, sent it around the office, and then out of 200 people, two people shared it. And I quickly realized that I was one of the people that didn't share it. So I backed away a little bit and said, well, yeah, you know, I hit delete as well. I just didn't think it was important. And over that lunch, I got to know why it was important and what they were trying to achieve. And, you know, I understand that if I shared that, that my network was more valuable than the company. And it was actually really integral that I did. And I went home that night and I remember that I'd whiteboard set up and I was writing, well, why didn't I share it? You know, that's obviously an important problem. And I realized that there was a couple of things. It was I was too busy, and I really want to do like air quotes around that because I think everybody says they're too busy. It was that my inbox is my to-do list. I used the Outlook flags. I had different color flags for certain things. And I'll be honest, I didn't have a flag for the marketing content. I didn't. It just didn't fit. So I hit delete. And there's a whole context switching as well. As a developer, I'm a big believer that context switching is a big thing. And, you know, that's a distraction. It's an interesting problem to try and solve. And that's where the why came from. So all of those problems we solve, we remove all of the excuses you probably have possibly have to share marketing content, and we actually get salespeople to share it, tap into their networks, and then you can reap the benefits of that in terms of increased website traffic, more leads, more MQLs, more candidates coming through.
Okay, first, a couple things to unpack. Number one, I love that you did a developer tool on why you didn't share it, right? Like you did the developer process. Like, okay, here's the whiteboard. Why didn't this work? Let me code around why I didn't do this. So that's awesome. Number two, I appreciate you owning the fact that you were just deleting it and telling her that. My last question is, how proper is a English marketing person when they're pissed off at you?
This is how I knew something was wrong, because she was on double vodkas rather than singles. Like, we used to sneak off on a Friday lunchtime for, you know, the odd vodka and Coke, but she didn't normally order doubles. It was always singles. We were quite sensible in that way.
Yeah, because I mean, like, number one, you're affecting her job. She's spending all this money. She has to validate why she spent it, and then no one's sharing it. So sorry, marketing person that had to work with Darren and the Broadbean team that was not respecting your effort or your job, apparently.
Yeah, well, the biggest frustration for her was that it would be fast forward a month and sales would be going to, I haven't had any leads from you. What's going on? There's no leads. What did marketing do? She's like, you are kidding. Like, if you shared that, you would have got your MQLs coming through to you. You could have converted those leads. We could all be making more money right now, but you didn't do it. You were too busy to do it. So that's why you don't have any leads right now. So you only have yourself to blame. But she couldn't say that, right? Because, you know, unfortunately, a lot of organizations...
She should have said it.
Yeah.
Salespeople need to be put in our place. Like, I know I do. So anyway, good natural transition though, man. You focus on the relationship between sales and marketing. And you know, I love, you know, you're hilarious in your LinkedIn post. Like, now I'm a marketer. Or let's talk about smarketing, right? Which is the adding the S from sales in front of marketing, where these things are super tightly ingrained, right? Like, you can't do one without the other. So what have you learned, kind of like takeaways from enabling smarketing for the last 2 years?
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing is that everybody wants to do it, right? Everybody wants sales and marketing to work together. The problem in a lot of staffing agencies, recruitment agencies, is that the CEO is an ex-recruiter. You know, typically, if you look at the profile of recruitment business owners, they were recruiters and they understand that bit. And, you know, as a business owner myself, the bits that I understand, I tend to do really well at. You know, I understand how to build a product. The product's great. The tech team is running well. When I first came to the business, running a sales team was new to me, and I probably shied away from that a little bit. So if you think about the CEO, it all starts with them. It always starts with the CEO. Does the CEO understand marketing, yes or no? If not, do they have the appetite to understand it? If they don't, then you know, you're fighting a losing battle. But most people now have got the appetite, which means that you can educate them and they can start to have that process and give marketing that seat at the table. One of the biggest problems we've got in the industry is there's still the term marketing girl, which I hate with a passion. If you follow me on LinkedIn, you probably know that. I speak to too many recruitment CEOs where they say, oh yes, we've got the marketing girl, which straight away shows to me you don't respect them, you don't actually hold them in high regard, and you don't trust them to deliver you revenue. They're to color in and make things look pretty to jazz things up, right? Where actually that conversation with your marketing girl should be that this is our revenue goal this year. What do we need to get there? How can you support us in that? How are we going to work with the recruiters to do that? And once you actually have that conversation, all the good things fall into place. You know, whether that's technology, whether that's, it's just a change of mindset. Marketing is there to drive revenue. That's what you should measure people on, not the pretty pictures. And if that's what you think, you probably don't need a marketer. You just need to outsource it.
Let's be honest. One of the things that I was super, I just went through the demo again of Pager, guys, some of the new products. And Darren showed me the new research part of it, which is basically the staffing and recruiting world catching up to little tools that salespeople that use the Salesforce or the more sophisticated tools for sales are doing. So Darren is helping us catch up in our industry to what these really sophisticated sales groups are doing, which I was super impressed with. But full transparency, Darren, I sold about 60 plus deals in 2019 and I made maybe 5 cold calls. I sent some cold emails, but my marketing girl, who was also the CMO, Travis Arnold, was a guru and we had really cool partnerships and I did not have to cold call anyone to close 65 deals at a SaaS staffing tech company. So if you are a recruiting CEO or staffing CEO and you do not believe in your, and I know like a lot of the people who listen to this, I know they do. So I'm talking to you if I'm talking to you. If you don't believe and empower your marketing team, you can't go to a conference right now, guys. Like, where are you going to brute force this? You're not knocking on doors, right? Like you need good storytelling. You need to use marketing technology to enable you. So it is offensive. Not that being a woman is offensive, but like calling someone a derogatory or less menial name. Like, yeah, get over that. That's going by the wayside in 2021. It went in the wayside by 2020. You know what firms did really well because they had really good marketing in 2020, right? Darren, like, do you have any numbers to validate that?
It's interesting. It's more anecdotal. So we have a number of customers and there was two mindsets. So we think about when lockdown hit, when COVID hit, there were two mindsets, right? It's either we're going to furlough or remove marketing, it's an expense, or right, we need to invest there. And it's interesting that the conversations I'm having now with those companies that invested there are the ones that are saying, no, we got through it. We're still doing deals. We've got candidates. We've got clients. Things are actually on the up for us. And the ones that pulled the plug that didn't invest in marketing are probably, I'd say, 6 months behind their return to normal because they don't have those clients coming into them. They don't have the roles. So the people that invested now, I think, are 6 months ahead of recovering. The people that didn't just aren't. They're behind. And it's the sort of mistake you don't want to make twice. So if you undervalued marketing back then, don't do it again. We're in another situation now in the UK. Double down on your marketing because it will leapfrog you in front of your competition. It really will.
Yeah, and we're recording this on January 19th. So for me, thank God Joe Biden will be inaugurated as president of the United States. So we'll have an adult in the room guiding us. So no offense to anyone who voted the other way. It's okay. But the US is going to be a lot more responsible. Be adults about the way that we're doing things. So if you don't think that that's what we were doing for the last year, you're sorry, but I'm not sorry. Yeah, like we could go through another lockdown if we can't get it together. So like you need to have good storytelling. All of that is just to tell you, we need to have good storytelling, which is marketing. If you had it, even in the US or the UK or anywhere in the world, you were at least reaching your customers and your customers knew you were functioning, right? Like if you didn't post a new blog post in all of 2020, when someone went to your website, what'd they think? Like, your company died, unfortunately, right? Like, come on, guys, you have to be better than that.
My biggest thing I was saying to people is, I get they don't have jobs right now and you can't even call them because they're not in the office. The hiring managers you normally deal with, your advocates internally, but you're connected with them on LinkedIn. So they may even be on furlough, they might not be working right now, but they will still be checking LinkedIn. So you need to stay present in their mind, be the person they see, so that when they do go back to work, when they do have roles they're hiring for, you're the person they call. You know, you don't want them to call up one of your competitors because they've probably got a PSL. They've got maybe 10 people they work with. Why are you going to be the person they call because they can finally hire again? And that's the question I always said, look, ask yourself that. make sure you're answering that with your marketing, with your personal brands on LinkedIn, keeping active. It will come. People will hire again. They will open the doors. You just need to make sure you're there to answer it.
They need to know that you're going to be working, that you are thinking about them, and that you are building trust and brand recognition and really that awareness stage of the funnel, right? Like that's, if people aren't working and they're on social media, you're building that awareness stage, right? If you're not advertising on podcasts, by the way, podcasts have like the great, like, I don't know what it is, Darren, and maybe you could tell me, but like, I have to find an article that explains why I listen to a podcast and I'm always interested and go to the website of the brand, right? It just, there's just something about the audio format of it. I could watch a million commercials and not give a crap about anything on a TV commercial, but if it's on a podcast, I am way more likely to actually engage with that brand for some reason. I don't know what it is.
Well, I think TV commercials, I never actually watch. If you think you're watching a program and then the TV commercial comes on, straight away I grab my phone and I'm on my phone at that point. So the TV commercial is in the background. I'm not even watching it at that point. Whereas with a podcast, you're literally in my head at that point and you've got my sole attention. So I think audio podcasts are far better advertising than TVs right now, because we live in a stage where if you can't skip an intro on Netflix, people get annoyed. So I don't think TV adverts are working.
Are you a Freakonomics fan? Have you ever read that book? And
no, what's that?
I think his name is Jonathan Dubner. He wrote a book about like kind of like studying the peripheral of economics and how it affects everything. The book was fascinating. It came out a long time ago, but he has a podcast. He kind of like studies the social and economic kind of like everything, kind of like how they all tie together. And I recently listened to a two-part episode about like whether advertising works. And it was fascinating. What a CMO of like Nestle says versus a professor who studied it and did like a research. I'm not going to give it away, but like it was super fascinating. So I highly recommend it. It's a two-part one. And they mentioned like podcasting, they mentioned digital advertising, and then they compared it to what was effective, digital versus TV. And digital's way more effective. It's not like overall, it's not super effective, but like it was super fascinating, man. So I highly recommend listening to the Freakonomics podcast as a podcaster myself. So, but anyway, if you are indirectly advertising your brand and raising awareness of your brand, which is what Pager would do, right? And this building your personal brand, it has more of an effect, right? Like you're not trying to make you watch 30 seconds on why you should buy a Toyota Camry, for instance, right? But like, hey, I work in IT staffing. I'm interested in this part of the process. And like, obviously, if you're an IT person, an IT recruiter is your personal agent, right? They're your Ari Gold or a Jerry Maguire, right? Their job is to provide you information about kind of what like your salary could be at this experience or what's going on in your industry. And so if someone's continuously doing that, I feel like there's a lot of value that can be derived. So
yeah, it's the way people are buying it. The way people buy has changed. If I want to buy a product right now, I hardly ever take the cold call. You know, if I've got a problem in my business, what usually happens is I start with a Google search. And I say, this is the problem I'm trying to solve. And then I go through the ads and I go through the top ones. I look at, you know, I put in a WhatsApp group, what do people recommend to solve this problem? The way we buy as consumers has changed in terms of e-commerce, but also as B2B as well has changed a lot. And I don't think that's that different for services. If you think about a service, you're going to go on LinkedIn, you're going to ask for recommendations, you're going to ask in WhatsApp groups, you're going to do a Google search. Now, what you want is the person that on the other end of that, on the other end of that WhatsApp group to recommend you. And the way they recommend you is through brand awareness, through trust. And the way you build that up is through your personal brand. So it all links together, but it's a much longer term play. You can't just put an advert out there and measure it the same way you do with the brand awareness piece. If you commit to it, like you said, you've been doing this podcast for a while and you've had those deals, you've had the success. I'm the same. I did hardly, you know, last year, probably one cold call just to see if I could still do it. Turns out I still hate it. But, you know, I still build for the business. I still build very well. We hit our targets last year through COVID. And all of that was for our LinkedIn activity. So it works. You just got to stick to it and really, really give it your all.
And yeah, and having tools to make it easy, like sales enablement, marketing enablement tools, make it easier. So I'm not advertising for Pager. I'm just saying, like, there's free ones and then there's paid ones. You just got to figure out what works. But, like, doing something, like, I use Hootsuite for free. And I was telling Darren, you know, that has its limitations, but it's free. And you can do these things for free, but you have to put effort into it. And it's just like any muscle. If you don't use it, it withers. If you use it, it gets stronger and you start thinking about it and analyzing it and figuring out how to do it better.
It's interesting because in our discovery, I'd rather use Hootsuite for free before you just jump straight into Pager. And that sounds odd to say because then I know your problem.
you know you're going to get better adoption because they have already taken steps to flex the muscle to use a tool. And now they're going to be able to adopt and see the value, right? Like if you're charging for something, you want them to use it. That's a big, it's a very simple concept, but it's a very powerful concept.
Absolutely. Because if you think about that, if you go straight from doing nothing to trying to use Pager to going fully in, you're more likely to fail because it's such a big change. Whereas if you use Hootsuite, by all means, sign up, you know, start building your personal brand, try and put something out every single day. If we can then say to you, right, that thing you've been doing that's been taking up, you know, half an hour, 40 minutes of your time every single day, we can do that in 2 minutes for you. Do you want to take a look? Then you value it more and you're more likely to frankly pay for it, whereas Hootsuite's a free tool. So yeah, a good place to start is your Hootsuite. You know, start there.
Yeah. And again, this is really about building your personal brand and then layering in tools free always to start to make it easier. Like I spend an hour, 45 minutes to an hour on a Sunday. I do my prep on Sunday and I curate. And then like, if I know I'm releasing a podcast usually on a Wednesday, I leave that day free because I know on Wednesday I'm going to go and grab a link and share the show notes. Like all these things happen kind of like, I already know I'm going to do it and I want to engage. So it's super interesting, right? One of my former prospects turned customers, I actually asked her if she reviewed any of the videos. It was like a 3-month sales process. I was like, hey, did you see any of my content on LinkedIn? And did that help you build trust in me? And kind of like before you recommended to sign in 2019. And she was like, yeah, absolutely. It was definitely part of, you know, like the tool was great, but you buy from people and I knew who you were. There's definitely a value to it. And Darren, you're on consistently. I love engaging with you. You're usually being snarky, which I greatly appreciate. And making snarky t-shirts or snarky comments. So
can I plug the t-shirts? Because the t-shirts are for charity. So if you don't mind me plugging something.
Absolutely. Go ahead, man.
Perfect. We've made some really good t-shirts for marketers. So if you've got any marketers in the office and you want to buy them a present, these are the t-shirts for them. They say things like your marketing girl, colouring in department. So the next time they join a Zoom call, they can be wearing that just to remind you not to say those things. But all of the money raised from the t-shirts go to a charity called Mind, which is for mental health, especially right now. That's so important with everybody stuck indoors. So yeah, please take a look there. If you go to pager.tmill.com, you can see the t-shirts.
I'll add that on the bottom of the show notes when we do pop it. This will come out probably first or second week of February. Not too far off. I'll definitely share that. I appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, I love the shirt. I love, you know, it's, again, it's an enablement tool. It is a tool. Thinking about your personal brand and then having tools around it is moving staffing forward into what sales is like sales enablement tools are already doing for B2B SaaS companies like a Salesforce or any of those tools. So whatever's using a Salesforce, they have much more sophisticated tools. So it's super interesting to see what Pager does and it's exciting, man. I'm super pumped by it. So, and I'm super pumped by Smarketing. Let's all go be Smarketers. Let's not hire, guys, the average sales rep is dead. You can't just cold call and da da da. You have to do interesting brand building things. And this is what the best people were doing before this, right? Like before the internet, the best sales reps were doing more than just cold calling. They were creating content, whether they were holding webinars or, you know, bringing people into a conference room and doing presentations. They were doing things to build trust. And we're just helping enable that. And we're focusing on that for the digital age. So super exciting, man. Darren, I appreciate the conversation. I know we have a hard stop. So where can people find you? And any last things you want to share?
Yeah, so finding me, obviously LinkedIn, just / Darren Westall. My email is darren@pager.co. I'm on all social media. I'm on, what's the new one? I've got it at the moment. Clubhouse. If you want to chat to me on Clubhouse, feel free. I don't fully understand it yet. I'm getting to grips with it. And yeah, obviously just connect with me on LinkedIn. I'd love to chat. Drop me an email if I can help with anything at all. But yeah, absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on.
No, man, thank you so much. I appreciate it. I'm really excited to continue seeing what Pager can do for the industry. Let's upgrade the way that we think about recruiters, because recruiters at the end of the day are salespeople, right? So let's help them out.
So signing off, this is Rob.
And I'm Lauren.
Now go do something good. Thanks, guys.